very much. I love you people very much. Y'all know that. We go back a long way. I tell Richard Creekmore today that when this church first got started, the four members, Greg Chapel, was kind of the mother church. And you pray for us consistently. I know you have. And we try to pray for you till we love you and have a great interest in the church here. So I hope you'll pray for me. Let me say something before I'm going to make a comment on what Justin said in a minute. But I want to say something of what I hope happens at this meeting. I don't think it'll be this dramatic, but I still hope it happens very much. I mean this. In the 19th chapter of Acts, they had some people there that were into some satanic practices, even magic and stuff like that. And I like the expression here, because when they began to preach, it said in Acts chapter 19, verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. And I hope that'll happen. I hope the word of God will grow mightily and prevail. Now, in that case, it was dramatic because they actually had some silver. They sold some magic books to the tune of 50,000 pieces of silver. So there's some dramatic results. But I hope there'll be some results in this meeting. It won't just be we said we have a meeting, there'll be some results. I hope this won't happen. But it won't happen unless the Holy Spirit's with us. But I want to tell you a story that happened to me one time to show you not dependent on the man. I think Justin did a wonderful job. I hope that God bless me to preach to you. But it doesn't really depend on the person. It depends on whether God's with you or not. Let me tell you an experience I had several years ago, in fact, many years ago. When I was first married, before we even had any children, that's a long time ago, I was in with Brother Don Ellis, wanted me to come to his country in Indiana, and he was hoping God would give revival. So he wanted us to go around preaching people's houses and have services. So we did for a week or two and had just a great time. I was having a real good liberty. And so I went to Sister Mary Chastain's house. The only time I've ever been to her home, whether she's still alive or not, I doubt she is still alive. Her husband had been a pastor that she had a widow woman by that time. Okay, thank you, Leroy. And anyway, we went to her house, and I couldn't wait to preach. They had some of y'all may know some of them. They live at, I think some of them, you know, Roger. Ralph and Sue, that was her son and daughter-in-law, I guess. And so they had some kids there. And so I got the living room to preach. And I don't know what happened. It was the most embarrassing time I've ever had in trying to preach. I don't know what I even said. I want to run out of the room. I just want to run out of the room. It's that bad. I felt like I was walking in mud. And I just had a horrible experience. A horrible experience. So I don't know how I even got through the thing, to be frank with you. And I was just amazed because I thought I'd have good liberty. I've been having good liberty all week. Well, you might think that's a failure. It wasn't on my part. But many years later, 10 or 15 years later, I was at the Cincinnati meeting. A young lady came up to me. And she said, Brother Zach, you don't know me, but I know you. She said, I was a dollar, and I forgot her name now. Roger, if you help me find her, I'm going to ask her about this again one of these days. But she said, I was Ralph and Sue's daughter. She said, you know the night that you came up and preached in our home? I said, yeah, I sure do. She said, Brother Zach, that's the night the Lord converted me. I'm going to just wait. So God's the one who done it. See, we met out here looking at a snake. Thankfully, but God, so I'm hoping God will be here. I want you to be moved by the messages. Whether you're moved emotionally right now or not, I'm hoping that this meeting will have some lasting effects. We all hope that every time we come to church. I'll make a couple of comments on what Justin preached. He knows what that means, so he hasn't had to ask me about that binding of Lizzie. What that means is, if a church acts scripturally, God's going to recognize it. Amen. That's what that means. If a church acts scripturally, if they don't act scripturally, God won't recognize it. If a church, I'm afraid to be disciplined by a church. I'd hate for a church to discipline me if I really deserved it, because I believe God would come down on me. I believe that people ought to respect God's house, and I believe that if a church makes a wrong move, God won't recognize that. But if I'm doing something that's wrong, the church disciplines me, that just means God recognized that. And how he recognized it, I don't know how he did it, but he got some teeth in it. So, Justin, you knew what that meant. Now, let me just say this, too. I appreciate what he said about our obligation to grow. We ought to want to grow. Why should we want to grow? Not really for the benefit we get out of it, even though we get a lot of benefit. That's not the main reason. You ought to want to grow, and Justin, you stirred me up, and I'm glad you have, because I want to grow. The reason we ought to want to grow is why? That God be glorified. You ought to want to grow that God be glorified. I get two verses of Scripture that I thought about while he was preaching. One of these is John 15:8. The Savior said, herein is the Father glorified, ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So we ought to bear a lot of fruit. So I'm glad I'm stirred up tonight, Dave. I appreciate that, Justin, a lot. And the other one is over in Philippians 1:11. And I have to get a running start down to that one. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment, You may have proved things are excellent. You may be sincere without offense in the day of Christ. Here's verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, the glory and praise of God. And in other words, in Philippians 1:11, Paul said he prayed desperately, Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. The reason that you and I, if we're children of God, placed on this earth is to glorify God. And we're not going to be happy if we're not glorifying God. Sometimes we have a great sense of dissatisfaction. And the problem is we're probably trying to satisfy ourselves instead of trying to glorify God. So help us, Lord, help us to grow. We might want to glorify our great God. So, Justin, I appreciate very much what you had to say. Now, what I want to do now, I hope you all pray for me. At Grace Chapel, I've been going through the Minor Prophets. Not every time we meet on Wednesday night, but I've been doing the Minor Prophets quite a bit. And I really got moved here a few months ago in the book of Haggai, so I'd like to go to the book of Haggai with you tonight, just for a few minutes. I won't take too long tonight. And I want to talk about regaining our spiritual focus. I don't know where you really are, and I don't know where I really am, but I guarantee you all of us, to one extent or another, need to regain our spiritual focus. The devil's always trying to knock us off our spiritual focus. Richard and I talked about that all the way up here today, that we've been serving God a long time, but that we got a lot of enemies, but to continue to readjust ourselves, regain our spiritual focus. Now, let me tell you what's going on in the book of Haggai. I think it's very appropriate for our times, because I don't believe anybody in this congregation is a rebel that I know of. I know a lot of you here. We all have a rebellious nature, but I don't know anybody here just an out-and-out rebel against God. Now, many of the prophets wrote against God's people that started tremendous rebellion. Many of them did that. But when I came to Haggai, I was surprised to find out that's not the case at all. They were not people who were rebels. These were people who had simply lost their focus. And that happened to us. Now, let me tell you what happened. In Haggai, the people had come out of captivity. They'd been in captivity for a long time. And they came out of captivity. And some of them got to go back to the promised land. And by the way, it's the best of the bunch went back to the promised land. Some of them stayed behind in Babylon. Remember that? That's terrible, isn't it? Some of them got sold home in Babylon. They stayed at home in Babylon. But a remnant went back to the land. Now, it was not a pretty land to go to. It was not going to be a pleasant situation. So I'm saying these are people above the average. This is pretty important, everything I'm saying now, so please listen to me. The people that went back were way above average because there are about 50,000 of them went back. And they went to a land that was desolate, a land that had been devastated, the walls had been torn down of the city and the temple, and there was a mess. The only reason they were going to go back was because it was God's country, and God had a job for them to do to rebuild the walls. That's why they went back. You think about that. We get the right people here. I'm going to talk about some right things now. We're the right people, but here's what happened when they went home. This happened to us so often. When they got home, brethren, they were filled with zeal. You read the book, and the books that go along with this. They began to rebuild the walls. They put everything they had into it. But after a year or two, they were greatly discouraged because when Cyrus died, old Ahasuerus was told the lie. These people were trying to rebel against him. He made them quit building the wall. Remember that? So you've got to quit. So they had to quit building the wall. Not they wanted to build it, but they couldn't build it anymore. So the point is, they got discouraged. But they got so discouraged, then they began to do other things. They had lost their focus. They began to consider their own houses. And you can see how it can happen to any of us. Sometimes we have spiritual disappointments, and without realizing it, we lose our main focus. But the beautiful part about this book is, Haggai was called to go back and call these people to the main focus. And the beautiful part of that is, brothers, they obeyed him. I tell you, this is a great prophecy. I love this prophecy. They obeyed him, and they began to immediately, when they recognized what had happened, to rebuild those walls. That's a beautiful lesson to me right now. Now, here's what we got. First of all, we got the right people. We got the people who really love the Lord. They've lost their way a little bit, like we do oftentimes. We all do that, don't we? Don't you admit to that? Who've been serving God, brother, however, even as much as I love you, you probably lost your way every now and then. Had to get refocused. I have done that lots of times. That's one reason I like to come to church, Justin, here preaching, to get my focus back. Richard, you lost your focus for a long time. Remember, you were out of the church for a long time. But God brought you back, thank God. One of the best members we got at Grace Chapel. But we lose our focus. So we got the right people. And brothers and sisters, they're at the right place. That's the Church of the Living God. Justin is right about that organized worship. Let me give you a verse on that I love so much. Psalm 27 and verse 4. I love that psalm. I love that verse. That's one of my favorite verses. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." That's such a good verse. I'm going to quote it to you again. I love that verse. You think about that. You got to put some effort into this thing. It won't always be easy. In fact, it will rarely be easy. One thing Justin said about this growing spiritually, it's not easy. He says it's not optional, and it's not easy. And he's right about that. We all know that. They've been serving God very long. You young people need to realize that. We got to make commitments, friends, and even go, like a marriage, sometimes not easy. But if you're going to have a marriage that lasts, you've got to commit yourself, work through all the difficulties. The same thing true in church membership. So let me give that first to you again. David said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." That's number one focus in his life. His priorities were right at that time. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after." See, he sought after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. We know that God has beauty in this whole earth, but in a special way in His church. And we can inquire in His temple in a special way. So we get the right people at the right place. And the third right is, they're doing the right thing, that's building the walls of Jerusalem. That's what God called us to do. Let me give you a verse that thrills my soul from Isaiah chapter 58. Let's look at there. This is what I want to do. This is what I like to do. And what I hope you want to do. I've committed my life to this. Like I say, I have not been totally always faithful to this, but my life has been committed to this just about, my sister Rebecca knows this. Since I've been called to preach, and even said before that, my life has been committed to this. Not like I should have done, but brother, I mean this. I'm serious about this. This is what I want to do. In Isaiah 58, verse 12. "And they that shall build thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repair of the breach, the restorer of past dwelling." That's what I like to do. I like to help build a foundation. I'm 69 years old. That's not all that old. It's older than it used to be. And I've got a desire, more than anything else, to leave something for our young people. And Brother Paul, I know you're that way. Leroy, I know you feel that way. That's what I want. I won't be here much longer. But I tell you what, as long as this earth stands, there will be churches in this earth, true churches in this earth. God promised us that. They might not be specific locations, but I pray continuously. In fact, we've been praying at Grace Chapel. A few of us have. Jimmy Barber started this back in 1987. And thank God we've been able to persevere. That once a week, my friend, we've been praying since 1987, one day a week, for God Almighty to send a revival to His churches. I hope I die praying that same prayer. I hope I see it answered. If it ain't answered in my lifetime, I hope God answered after that I die. But I have prayed many times, "Lord, please let there be a candlestick at Grace Chapel when Jesus Christ comes again." You ought to be praying that from Mount Zion. "Lord, let there be a candlestick at Mount Zion when Jesus Christ comes again." You ought to be praying that prayer. That's what I pray. I'd like to be a builder of foundation if I possibly could be. So what do we have here, dear friend? We got the right people, that is people who love God but who've lost their focus. They're in the right place at the church of the living God. They're doing the right thing, building the walls, and the right reason is for God's glory. Like you said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21, I quote 20 and 21, "Now that Him is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." That's where we want the glory to be. So now let's go to Haggai, and let's look at a few things. Now you keep praying for me, will you? I've already given the main outline, so I won't take a long time. Let's look at this. It's beautiful what we have here. I'm just going to read the first chapter, most of it, and make a few comments as we go along. And I have a few verses. Let me give you a verse before that I do that, though. Let me get a verse. I'm afraid I'll forget this, so I want to go to this one. Let's go to the book of Hosea, because I think this fits right in. Then I'm going to go to Haggai, and we're going to read and make a few comments. Let's go to the book of Hosea. There's a verse here that just sets me on fire. Do you know what fallow ground is? I know you old farmers know what fallow ground is. It's land that hadn't been plowed for a long time. Is there anything in your life that hadn't been plowed for a long time? Anything? What about the prayer life? Is any weeds growing up in it? What about the Bible reading life? Any weeds growing up in it? What about really caring for other people and helping them out? And like Justin says, exhorting one another, loving good works. Is there any fallow ground in our life? Friends, I told Ray Hagerthal ago, Justin is getting on my toes, and he is. I hope to God I always have the humility and the sensibility to recognize when somebody's getting on my toes. I hope, and I need my toes getting on sometimes. But I tell you, even if I try to serve God, but brethren, there's some fallow ground in my life. Is there any fallow ground in your life? You ask yourself that question. preachers, deacons, members, everybody, ask ourselves that question. And so, if that's true, here's what we need to recognize, this great, great verse in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. That's a great verse, isn't it? We need to break our fallow ground up. Ask God tonight, my friend, as you go to bed, God, what is my fallow ground? What have I been letting lie? What have I gotten slack about? What have I gotten complacent about, Lord? What have I got lukewarm about? And there will always be some question we can ask ourselves that way. Now let's go back to the book of Haggai, and I'll just make a few comments on that chapter. I've given the main outline of it. And I love this so much. I was thrilled when I found this out, to be frank with you, because that's the kind of people I preach to at Great Chapel. I don't preach to a bunch of rebels. There may be a few rebels every now and then, but mainly the congregation I preach to are not made up of people who want to rebel against God. It had to be rebuked, like some of the prophets had to rebuke people in some of these prophets. You know, some of them are pretty rough rebuking. But my friend, I'm serving people who want to serve God, but sometimes they just lose their focus. Maybe disappointments come. Maybe something didn't go right. Maybe it's the pressure of life. Life is full of pressures, isn't it? We're busy, aren't we? We're on a treadmill, but the devil puts on a treadmill. We have to make a living, don't we, in this world we live in. We worry about what's happening in our government, and rightly so, don't we? We don't like the ethnic group in our country. So I don't sometimes. I'm not a bigot either. I just don't like the way that our borders have been just wide open. I don't like that a bit. You probably don't like it either. But a lot of things can get me down. And some of these are legitimate concerns, but they can get me so down, I forget the main thing I'm put on this earth for, that's to glorify God. So I think I fit in good with the people of Haggai. And my prayer is that when God does come to me, like He did with the prophet, my friend, and I hear what He got to say, I'll listen to what He's saying and do something about it. There's no rebellion here in the book of Haggai, thank God, if we read this. Let's read that first chapter, part of it. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua the son of Joshedech, the high priest, saying, now here's, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. They'd forgotten about that. They had tried to remember when they first came back out of captivity, but they had been disappointed, and now they had forgotten all about what they're supposed to be doing. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, this house lie waste? In other words, you have let the house of God go to waste. You're so concerned about your own affairs. And then he says something very important, and I would like to emphasize this, because it's mentioned five times in this book, this word, now therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Brethren, that's what I'm asking you to tonight. That's what I'm asking myself to tonight. Consider your ways. As Justin was preaching, I guarantee you, old Zach Guest began to consider some of his ways. It's here five times, my friend, this word consider. So I'm asking you tonight, friends, consider your ways. I don't know where you're at, but God knows where you're at. Consider your ways. You have so much and bring in little. These people are very frustrated. It's a time of inflation, about like we've got now when money doesn't go very far. And they work real hard, they haven't got much to show for it, they're frustrated, and there's a reason for all that. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put them into a bag of holes. Don't you feel that way sometimes? Becca, what are you grinning about? You feel that way sometimes? You put your money in a bag of holes? That's why I feel. Comes in hard, go out easy. But that's what happens. So he comes again in verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Brethren, may that ring in our heart tonight by the Holy Spirit as we go to bed. Consider your ways, Zach Guest. Consider your ways. Then he gives the advice. This is the advice here in verse 8. Go up to the mountains. Bring wood. Build the house. I'll take pleasure in it. I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. That might not be an easy job. He said, do it. You get some building material, and brethren, you get the building. That's what he's saying right there. It kind of reminds me a little bit over in the book of Kings, when Elijah was confronting those prophets of Baal, and when the Baalites did all their rigmarole, do you remember the first thing he did, that Joshua did, that Elijah did? Remember, this moved me. He repaired the altar had been broken down. I got to thinking, sometime our prayer altar gets broken down. You remember that? And Elijah, before he even began to offer his sacrifices, when God answered by fire, but the Bible said, if you read there in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18, after that the Baalites had done all that hopping around and making all that racket and stuff like that, Elijah then, the first thing he did, Brother Dave, he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been broken down. I'm telling you, our altars get broken down sometimes. Our prayer altars get broken down sometimes. You daddies and mamas, listen to me. I've raised 11 kids, and Rebecca Mercy now is 17 years old. That blows my mind. She's my baby. And we did have family devotionals, but I wish we'd have more family devotionals. If you're slacking that, you get on the ball again. If you've got grandkids, you get on the ball with grandkids. Do what you can. Life passes by a lot faster than you think it does. And the older you get, the faster it passes by. And so sometimes I realize, even in my life, I try to do what's right, but sometimes the altar got broken down. I got so busy. So I want to encourage you, think about what altars in your life may not be where they ought to be, and rebuild those altars, my dear friends. All right, let's keep reading. You look for much. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read that verse 8 again, because it talks about glorifying God. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. I'll be glorified, God said, to get that house built. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and ye run everyone to his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, the earth is stayed from her fruit, and I call for a drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, upon men, upon cattle, upon all the labor of the hands. All right, now let's see what happened. This is good stuff here. I like this. They did not rebel, folks. They didn't rebel. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. I like that, don't y'all? That's good news for a preacher, brother. This is one time when an old preacher preached, he obeyed God, and so help me, the people also obeyed God. That's good news right there, isn't it? That's good stuff, isn't it? Let me read that again. This is Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the word of Haggai and the prophet as the Lord their God has sent him. The people did fear before the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm glad they did that. Amen. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people. Now, you know what God's message was? And I want you to get some encouragement out of this. Because brothers and sisters, I know you feel weak. And you are weak, like Justin said. I like what you're pointing on that, Justin. We're growing. We depend on God more, not we get more independent. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm getting stronger. I'm getting independent. He's exactly right about that. The more dependent we are, the more weak we feel, the better we're growing more. Paul said that in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said, the Lord told him, he said, in weakness, my strength is made perfect. Remember that? He said, I glory in my weaknesses, because he learned how to lean on the Lord more. Like Richard was talking today about old Jacob, when he got he was wrestling with God, and God touched the hollow of his thigh. He limped the rest of his life, but it's okay to limp, because he leaned on God, brethren. We've got to limp ourselves, we can lean on God better. Anyway, here's the message. This is sweet. Now, let's get this. 13th verse. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message to the people, saying, I'm with you, saith the Lord. Now, you get what I said there? I'm with you, said the Lord. Brethren, if God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that right? I'm with you, he said. That's good news, friends. When we're serving God, he's with us. That's great news. That encouraged those people. And I like verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. He's got to stir us up. Isn't it good when God stirred us up? You know one reason I know I'm born again? Sometimes I get as cold as a piece of ice. So help me out of there. Even now, I've been preaching for 40-some-odd years, and sometimes, spiritually, brethren, I get as cold as a piece of ice. But I go to church sometimes, and God stirs my soul up. And I say, thank God there's something in there to get stirred up. I must be a born-again child of God after all. That message has thrilled my soul, and maybe you want to say amen out loud and stir me up. Thank God, my friends, for that. I'm so glad of that. I know you're probably there, a lot of y'all there. Isn't it good to come to God's house? And you've been as cold as a piece of ice, and something inside you, just the message grabbed a hold of it. Because that same word, my friend, that the preacher's preaching, God wrote it in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and he caused you to be born again. And so life and immortality are brought to light through the gospel. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 420th day of the sixth month, the second year of Darius the king. I think, my friends, that's good news. The right people, that is, those people who love the Lord, who lost their focus, in a right place, the house of God, doing the right thing, building the walls, the right reason that God may be glorified. May the Lord bless you.